Oh, look, there's a passenger. Perfect.
Dude, why do I have to go on these rides with you?
I'm telling you, dude. You think I like being an Uber driver? You're here for moral support. Let's just pick this guy up, take him home.
All right, let's do it. I'll help you.
Hello? Are y'all Uber Eats?
No, we're just regular Uber. Are you Hamilton?
Yeah, I had ordered food, but I guess I'll get in your car.
Come on in, bro.
Oh, all right, this pretty tight back seat here. Can y'all, like, move your seats forward or something?
We're here to have conversations.
Oh, the doors just locked themselves.
That's right.
Hey, what do y'all want to talk about?
We are two hosts of a show, and we just decided to take our show on the road.
We have a podcast! Do you want to follow it?
I think I've heard of that. Is that like a TV show, but like you don't see anything?
You just talk.
Oh, okay. I like talking. I can do that.
Anyway, guys, welcome to another episode of Son of a Ginger. We have our guest on the road, Hamilton Way, who I think I lived with this time last year, even 2 years before. Maybe went to college with too.
Patrick, we've been friends for years. Why are you acting like a stranger?
You're in Mason's car, and you gotta know the rules of the road. And the rules of the road are talking about Stuber. As always, I'm Patrick Baylor.
I'm Mason Five Star Moreau.
And this is our passenger, Hamilton Way. Welcome,
hello.
Hamilton.
Good to be here, I guess.
You're here whether you like it or not. So we got a long ride, and we got a lot to talk about. We got a movie. We got Stuber, a new action comedy from 2019, which, I mean, do you know anything about Stuber? Did you see it?
I know a lot about Stuber. For those who don't know, I actually was an employee of Stuber during its filming.
How insane that we pick up a passenger and they just so happened to be an employee on the set of Stuber.
What a coinkydink.
Seems like a crazy coincidence.
Yeah.
I was an office production assistant on Stuber.
Ooh.
And I also have seen the movie, so I am both a worker and a fan.
So you can give us maybe both sides of the spectrum of what happened on this film. And I'd say a lot happened on this film, you know? We haven't had an action comedy in a while. I mean, I guess we probably have had one every year, but I've enjoyed this one. This one enticed me, maybe because my old roommate and friend worked on it. But I like Kumail. I like Dave. And slap them together for some modern twist fun of an app that everyone uses. Woo-wee!
There's definitely a market for the, like, two big-name actors team-up movie where you do an action comedy. We saw it with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan in Cop Out. We saw it with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy in
The Heat?
The Heat!
Other guys?
Can't forget The Rock and Kevin Hart have done several of these.
I'd say recently, that's kind of all we've had is Kevin Hart and The Rock.
Which I will say, most people on Reddit are definitely calling this a little bit of a secondhand Rock and Kevin Hart buddy cop movie.
I would agree.
But to them I say, bah humbug.
I'd say that I liked this more than I've seen those Rock and Kevin Hart movies. I don't even remember what they're called.
I don't think The Rock remembers either.
He just shows up.
But gosh, you're right, it's a genre that we don't have as much of, because even the movies we just listed are over like the past 10 years or so. So it's always interesting to see a new entry into the buddy cop lexicon.
And with like the buddy cop thing, we mentioned Kevin Hart and The Rock, for example. Those guys just play themselves. I feel like we got to see at least some kind of character. You know, it was, I guess, a Kumail character and a Dave character.
I disagree. I think Kumail Nanjiani played himself in this.
You think
sure.
so?
Yeah. There were plenty of times where he was ad-libbing lines. Maybe you can corroborate this, but it seemed
that
like he was ad-libbing a lot of things. And the thing about a lot of ad-libbing is that the person's sense of humor, the actual actor's sense of humor comes out, and then you just feel like you're watching that person.
I do think there are two obvious correlations for Kumail from this movie. I think at this point, probably his two biggest roles have been Silicon Valley and The Big Sick. And you can see a lot of that in his character here. With Silicon Valley, of course, you've got kind of the put-upon nerd. And with The Big Sick, you have, of course, an Uber driver. And I think in that sense, his character was a little more familiar. Dave Bautista, I think you could argue, tried to do something a little different than his persona. Although you can obviously debate on whether that was successful or not.
Yeah. And then maybe for me, like, I guess what was fresh about it, I haven't seen both of these guys in that many movies where, at least with Dave Bautista, like, I know him solely really as Drax, and then that one guy in Blade Runner for like the first 10 minutes. for, you know, his big acting career. I didn't watch much of his wrestling, but I did have the WrestleMania 2008 video game. Played as Batista now and then. I did some big body slams.
You know, this is a complete guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if it came out that both of these actors accepted this movie because they were like, it was one of the first times they were approached for a role.
To be the lead.
20th Century Fox wants you for this movie. And Kumail and Dave Bautista are both just like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. Like, there, people are asking me. I don't even need to audition anymore.
You know, that's not something that I personally have direct insight to, but I would argue it's the same thing as you just said, where I think for both of them, they're at places in their careers where they're both moderately successful, but hadn't necessarily been the lead. Kumail had, of course, been the lead in a smaller movie, The Big Sick, that blew up and got him a lot more success. And
nominated for an Oscar.
Nominated for an Oscar, yeah. Directly. And I think he wanted to be the lead in a studio comedy. And Dave Bautista has had very scene-stolen roles in big blockbusters, but has never really been the lead in a big studio comedy. So I think for both of them, it was a good opportunity to kind of get out of either their indie niche or their blockbuster supporting roles and be a at least relatively successful studio comedy lead. And I think for both of them it was a good career move, I'd say, because it definitely does position them in more of a way where they can say, I'm not just a guy you used to prop up your movie, I've now been the lead in a movie. Because for this film, they're both the lead. This is very much a deuteragonist movie where they're both pretty much equal billing, equal screen time, equal importance to the plot.
Yeah. Deuteragonist? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, like a protagonist, but
deuteragonist.
Deuteragonist? That's a thing, right?
I'll take
it. So what do you call Huey, Dewey, and Louie?
Ducks.
Trio deuteragonist.
But also trio deuteragonist. Which is also a type of dinosaur. It gets very confusing.
Okay. Trio deuteragonosaurus.
Well, you know what wasn't confusing was the plot of this movie. Fairly straightforward.
Great segue.
Thank you. Trailer kind of really told us what was happening, and there were so many bites within the movie that they used in those trailers that told you the plot. Stu is played by Kumail Nanjiani. He is an Uber driver who has a shitty job that's trying to make enough money to open and fund a gym that he has with his lifelong friend and girl that he's always liked, that he's been in the friend zone with, played by Betty Gilpin of GLOW. And he's just trying to make his money. All this happens as Dave Bautista is this grizzled cop that's chasing down the guy that killed his old partner, right? His old partner?
Yep. Yeah, his old partner. Karen Gillan.
Yep. Karen Gillan, yes.
A nice little Guardians semi-reunion.
Yeah, for at least a couple of scenes. The fun wrinkle that I don't think was really in any of the trailers that I enjoyed about it was that in the beginning of the movie, he misses a shot because he has very bad vision. So then fast forward a few months later, he decides to get LASIK, and then all of a sudden, the guy that killed his partner, he turns up, and he's got to stop him. But he can't see anything with his fresh laser eye surgery. So now he's got to get him with his new Uber driver, and hilarity ensues.
Yeah, that's the good way to get to the premise that I feel was like the genesis of this idea. It was an Uber driver has to drive around a cop.
And it's funny, right? What I've seen a lot of people say is that the premise is essentially a buddy comedy twist on Collateral, the old Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx movie, where Tom Cruise plays a bad guy who kidnaps a taxi driver and makes him do kind of sadistic things. This is kind of the same basic premise, but played as a comedy, where it's, in the movie's eyes, righteous cop who kidnaps an Uber driver, ostensibly, but it's for a good cause, and of course they bond throughout the movie.
Hamilton, are you saying that the movie that you so graciously worked on is unoriginal?
I would never say something so bold, but I'm not going to say it was the most original movie ever.
But of the originality of what I did like, he's like not that good of an Uber driver. And like this might be the ride that like puts him below 4 stars and he can't have this side gig in general. Like that kind of like little bit of urgency that they wrote into was, I think, a smart way to at least like glue everything together.
It was serviceable.
Yeah.
They both had their motivations and they were both fully laid out and realized.
And I think that's good enough because for a movie like this, the draw is just to pit these two actors against each other who have a unique chemistry. And that's, of course, the point. And I think as far as motivations go, the movie did a good enough job where you could at least, in the sense of the movie, you could believe it for that hour and 45 minute runtime. You could say, okay, I understand why Dave Bautista needs him as an Uber driver because he can't see today. And I understand why Kumail's character needs to keep him because he's in this position where he really needs money. He's in a lot of debt. He can't afford to get any more one-star ratings, which, you know, doesn't hold up to the tightest scrutiny. But in the context of the film, it makes sense and it provides a welcome enough motivation. And then, of course, as the movie goes on, they just are in it more for the bond.
Yeah. Creative liberties is what we like to call them on this show.
Sure. And this is all while Betty Gilpin is saying, hey, let's get together. It's gonna happen. What? The pretty girl that I've always wanted to talk to wants to talk to me? Hubba hubba.
Right. Very sadly lovesick. Lovesick.
Big sick? Right.
He's big lovesick on HBO.
So one thing I wanted to ask y'all before we get to more of our overall thoughts on the movie, working on the movie, I thought it was notable how this was very much a two-hander where we had probably, I think, 42 days of primary filming. And Kumail and Dave were on set pretty much every day. But then every other actor is on set maybe 2 to 3 days with a few exceptions. So it was very much focused on the two of them. Watching the movie, did y'all ever have a sense that you would wish supporting characters got more screen time, or did it work for you having just the primary focus being these two characters?
I enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of Kumail whenever he does anything. So, you know, seeing more of him in whatever role is always great. Same thing with Dave Bautista, although I feel like we don't see him enough, especially since I've been a fan of past supporting roles he's played. I've been excited, sort of anxiously awaiting his moment to get a starring role. And, you know, while this wasn't the most serious opportunity, he still showed some chops and some range.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. I think the supporting characters did their jobs. You know what I mean? And the draw of this movie, the reason this movie entertains audiences or will entertain audiences, is the dynamic of the two unique actors that have a unique chemistry. And so you shouldn't take too much away from what makes the movie good.
Right.
True. I would agree. This was their movie. And yeah, every person supported. I think Natalie Morales is Dave Bautista's daughter. She was good. She kind of like centered him a little bit. I wouldn't say I wanted to see more of her. I think she was in there the right amount. You know who I thought I was going to see more? It was that damn dog. He was in like 2 scenes and then he left.
They really over-advertised the dog.
He's
I gotta
on the
say.
Poster, the trailer.
Dog's on the poster?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
When I saw the poster, I questioned it because I was like, I read the script and unless I misread, he's not in any more than maybe 2 scenes. Maybe a scene and a half. He is not like an integral part of the story.
That is them saying our movie releases a week before Lion King.
Let's
we need
put
to get
dog.
People in the seats.
And to be fair, it's a cute dog.
It's a cute dog.
It was my girlfriend's favorite part of the movie.
Oh.
Speaking of animals and that shootout scene in the animal hospital, Dave Bautista almost certainly killed multiple animals.
Absolutely.
Behind the people who are shooting at him, because he missed a lot. And where did those bullets go? Right into the hearts of the little cute bunnies and kitties that were in cages behind the bad guys. I guarantee you that if this movie was in real life, which movies aren't real life, so this is a dumb criticism, but all those animals would be looking like Swiss cheese.
I'm glad you're looking after the little guy, Mason.
I'm just saying, don't kill all the animals. They're cute. Well,
I'm worried about the animals because at one point in the scene, and sorry, is spoilers okay on this?
Oh, yeah, spoilers, of course. All over.
Okay. This isn't a huge spoiler, but the vet that takes care of the animals, he got shot rather callously. And I was just like, those poor animals just lost their caretaker. He was such a sweet vet, and he didn't need to die.
When did the vet get shot?
He got shot by Mira Sorvino when she was looking for Dave at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so did the big twist that his boss was the bad guy the whole time, did that really get y'all?
No.
No is the short answer. I certainly think this is a movie that was more focused on comedy than plot, which is fair because there's different priorities, but I do think in general their attempts at creating a thriller and those kind of side elements, to me, fell pretty flat.
I think all the action scenes had way too much shaky cam.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like the action part took a backseat, and the action and plot and that stuff sort of exists to act as a vehicle for the comedy and the dynamic.
I would say I enjoyed the beginning action scenes. I thought those were well done. Maybe, like, yeah, as it got on and we learned more about the characters and we cared a little bit less. But at The very end, I thought that action scene was cool. But, like, the beginning part where the chase with Karen Gillan, that was cool. That was where it was, like, the moment of, like, hey, this is an action film. And then let's do the comedy part.
Right. It was before they set Dave Bautista's straight man character up in a comedic setting, right? He was the serious cop until he went blind after surgery. And then the physical comedy aspect starts.
Hamilton being in the office of this set and then getting to go on the set a couple of times, would you say like it was like 80-20 office to set?
Yeah, certainly on this movie, I spent more time on set than I usually do when I work in the office, just because this was a smaller budgeted movie. I think the official number is $16 million. I feel like it's closer to probably $25 in practicality. There are definitely times that I was told, hey, we don't have enough money to hire more PAs for the set. So listen, you office PA number two, you're going to the set, which is fine. And because of that, I got to be on set for a lot of the cooler scenes. Pretty much all of the car chase scenes at the end of the movie, I was on set, I was watching for. And outside of that, I definitely got to at least see the scenes throughout the rest of the movie. When I was on set, it was a pretty good atmosphere. Definitely to go back to what you said earlier about how much of it was and was not ad-libbed, it was definitely treated more as a comedy than an action film, which is to say that the director, Michael Dowd, who had directed things such as Goon before, which I think is probably his most famous movie.
Goon. Okay, yeah,
he was very focused on the comedy, and the action was kind of secondary. And specifically, he would have a lot of takes where he just wanted to let it roll over and over again and let them ad lib. And the script was interesting, where this was a script that was written probably a year before we started filming. The writer sold it and then was never on set. Maybe he came to set for like one day. But then it got a few passes. I think the director rewrote a draft at one point. Kumail Nanjiani actually rewrote a draft at one point. Generally, and I don't know how much of that was and wasn't used, generally when they're on set, they would have the pages, have the scenes in front of them, and then the director would just kind of let the two of them riff. So as far as what made in the movie, from what I could tell, most of Dave Bautista's dialogue was as written. I don't think he leaned into the improv aspect too much. But there are a few lines that were definitely ad-libbed by Kumail. I actually thought some of the funnier lines in the movie, and of course I'm biased because since I had already read it a few times, of course the lines that I didn't recognize, I laughed at more because they're surprising to me. But like, I guess to use an example, when they're in the sporting goods store and Kumail sees a picture of Dave Bautista and his family on a cruise, and he's like, what, did you kidnap a family? Did he just say, hey guys, let's get in a cruise? Which I got a chuckle out of, was definitely entirely ad-libbed. And there are a few other lines too. So that was interesting for me to see. Kumail clearly took this movie as an opportunity to embrace being the lead in a comedy and the power that comes with that and the ability to probably flex his ad-lib muscles more than if he's, say, a supporting character.
That's awesome. That is a truth bomb of just, I feel transported on set.
I think this goes back to the point that it certainly feels like both of these actors are doing more than just collecting a check.
Yeah.
The actors themselves certainly seemed pretty engaged with the material.
Mm-hmm.
They were never really divas or anything like you hear sometimes. They were never late. They were always on time. Like I said, the two of them were on set the majority of days, if not every single day of shooting. And they definitely spent a fair amount of time outside of the trailers, were relatively engaged with the crew. So it definitely, to me, felt like they were not just phoning it in, which is always appreciative, especially when you work in a film and there are people who seem like they are just there collecting a check. They definitely seemed more engaged than I think the average actor. And I do think in the end result, that does show off in at least their chemistry. Personally, I thought they had some good chemistry and definitely did play off each other very well. And even if the movie's plot doesn't hold up to a lot of scrutiny, if nothing else, I do think it's enjoyable to watch them banter. And a lot of that has to do with their engagement with the product.
I think this is a movie that will do well, like, in syndication. Like, I already see this going on at like 9 p.m. on TBS or like TBS, HBO Go.
FX presents Stuber.
Get on HBO at some point. Oh man, yeah. People watch the hell out of that.
And yeah, so you say that of how available they were on set. Would you say that because of that and their just overall, like, I guess, good nature, did that really like up morale with those folks on set?
I would say there was generally a pretty decent morale on set. It was definitely a hard movie just because there were pretty long hours, which is always the case in the film industry. And it was definitely, it was a pretty busy, condensed runtime, but generally people were in good moods, and I think that the actor's energy always helps that a little bit. If anything, I think working on set below the line, as far as the interplay of the actors go, there's so much interaction with other crew members where you almost forget there are actors, and when the actors are around and are present, there's almost a level of performance to you where it's like, oh, like this guy I follow on Twitter is here, and like it encourages me to have a higher enthusiasm and a better energy, but also be chill. And I think you definitely do get that aspect a little bit when they are more present and are more engaged, and that definitely did show.
Do you think that would ever wear off as you continue to gain experience working with high profile people?
I definitely think it does to an extent. I think most people who work in the industry either enter it with an ambivalence to celebrity or gained that within a few years. And I definitely feel I've worked about 2.5 years now, and I definitely feel like I mostly have an ambivalence, at least in the set environment. It's almost like a separation where I can be outside of work and I can go to a convention and see my favorite actor and get so excited. But if I was working on set and my favorite actor is working on project with me, I'm going to contain myself. And I do think that is a general sentiment that most people in the film industry share, or at least try to uphold. So I wouldn't say there's anyone, you know, fangirling over them on set, but there still is a relationship where at the end of the day, like you as someone below the line ultimately still do in some sense, especially in either production or the AD department, which is what I work in, the production department, serve the executive producers and the writers and the actors. So it's almost like a service industry job, except instead of working in a coffee shop, you're working on a set catering to these people. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a little more of that kind of relationship than of like a fan celebrity relationship, if you make sense. Although ironically, I think the end result is the same, where you do have a reverence for them and a respect for them that does change the way you behave in a positive way.
Hamilton, wait, film professional. You're keeping it professional. You know how to tighten that tie.
Man, I try. I do admit Kumail, actually, of all the people I've worked with, he is the actor I was most excited about working with and just seeing and interacting with, just because I was such a huge fan of The Big Sick. And I interacted with him a few times on set. I gave him a birthday cake during nice. His birthday on set, his 40th birthday, I believe. But I didn't actually properly introduce myself until the wrap party, and I was very excited to do that. And then him and Dave Bautista are both there in a tiny bar in West Midtown. And at one point, my girlfriend was standing 2 feet away from Dave Bautista, and he turned and almost knocked her head off with his elbows, because that is a huge man. But
oh my
then
God.
He apologized for bumping into her, and was very sweet about it, because he's a very nice man.
He can easily bench press your girlfriend, because your girlfriend's very little, too.
And just to clarify, there are some celebrities whose size surprises you when you see them in person. Dave Bautista is huge.
He's
as huge as he looks on screen. He is huge.
Dang. I think Kumail, he's got an Emmy nomination now with his work in The Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of figured his stuff out. Would you say this maybe figures things out for Dave now that we've kind of seen the spectrum of his career and his resume, from wrestler to superhero now to leading a comedy?
I don't know. I think I'd be pretty disappointed if he fell into a action comedy leading man sort of role. Typecast as this straight man cop, who, because I saw a trailer for a new Dave Bautista movie where he's a CIA agent.
Was it the daughter one?
And he has to teach this little girl how to be a spy.
Yeah, so I was going to bring that up and say, I think it's less this movie individually for him, and more it's a pattern of he's doing a few movies, that being one of them. God, I don't know, it's Spy Hard or something like that.
Yeah.
Teach Me How to Spy. Where he's basically doing these smaller, less artistically creative, but leading roles, which is big for someone like him. And I think a comparison point is The Rock, because The Rock about 10 years ago was doing supporting roles in movies, but then he did one of the Tooth Fairy movies, and he did a few,
right,
you know, less beloved movies now, like these kind of dumber comedies. But it was important to kind of position him as a leading man, and then he'd eventually get these bigger roles as leading man again. And Dave is someone I personally think he's a great actor, specifically based on his work in Blade Runner, as short as it was. I was a huge fan of that and his role in it. And I do think roles like this will be very helpful for him to get more significant roles in the future.
If actors' careers were publicly traded, I would invest in David Bautista.
Be cool.
I would invest in both of their careers.
Because also, if anything, he's probably just like taking the roles that The Rock doesn't want, or that John Cena doesn't want. So I thought John Cena was supposed to be in this movie originally.
He was. No, that's actually accurate. He was initially cast before Kumail was officially cast, but Kumail was like pretty much tied to it. And then John Cena was rumored and about to sign. And then for some reason he dropped out, and then Dave Bautista signed after John Cena jumped out.
All good castings in general.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, if anything, The Rock is kind of our Arnold Schwarzenegger right now in this current generation of film. But if Dave Bautista wants to be our Dolph, I'm for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen his acting chops, though, right? I mean, he kind of showed them off in this movie just a little bit when he starts crying in the hospital at the end. I felt was, like, the only moment where he really got to flex the dramatic muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was so damn impressed with his performance in Blade Runner. And you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but he was also in a short that was sort of a prequel leading up to the opening scene of Blade Runner 2049, where he was the main character.
I didn't know that.
I think we've discussed this on our Blade Runner 2049 podcast that you can listen to on previous podcasts.
I was really impressed. I had seen him as Drax, right? And loved him as Drax, but that's a very campy, over-the-top character. Seeing the sort of dramatic side, and this, it really showed that he had an actual talent and wasn't just trying to apply what he learned in wrestling to something, which I feel like sets him apart from people like The Rock and John Cena, because I think that he demonstrated a love for the craft that's a little more deep than The Rock and John Cena. And so that's why I'm excited about Dave Bautista. I loved his silent, sort of menacing performance as Odd Job Inspector. Love him as Drax, and I loved him as Sapper Morton in Blade Runner 2049. And I would like to see him pick up a role that has a little more meat on its bones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just throw him to the sharks and see how he does. Just do it. And if it's not, then he can go back to playing buddy cop comedies. And if it is, then he can collect his Oscar.
Well, after watching this, I think there's opportunities to, I guess, maybe make more of these. I don't know. Like, I would like to see him in more of these. It ended nicely. Now Kumail's dating his daughter, Natalie Morales, and they're a little cute little family together.
Patrick, you couldn't possibly be talking about a sequel to Stuber, could you?
I think I smell one.
Well, how coincidental. Because I just so happened to be the only one in the theater when I was watching. So I was able to have my phone out without bothering anyone.
Yeah.
And I took that opportunity to write different new name pun movie titles that involve a name and an app.
This is exciting. I'm actually excited for this.
Did Jimmy Tatro also whisper all these ideas to you?
He was in the theater.
Yeah, shout out to Jimmy Tatro, who just gets to say the movie title a bunch of times. And as they say in Barry, they can't cut that.
Yeah, no way. We're going to play a little game.
Ooh.
I'm going to read you guys these titles I've come up with. So are you guys ready to come up with some plots for these awful puns I came up with?
Mason, I was born ready.
All right, here's the first one. Clift.
My name's Cliff. I gotta climb a cliff to find the girl I love. But man, I don't have any of my climbing equipment. Let me call a lift to drive me up that cliff. Cliff. In theaters this fall.
Postnate.
Post driver had it all. But then, one day, when his girlfriend asked him to bring over some tacos, he was aghast when his favorite taco stand was closed down. Enter Tom, the Postmates driver, who just got shot. So that's when Poster took over his job, stole the tacos that were currently in the last order, and drove to his girlfriend's house with the cops right on his tail. In theaters, never.
Great. Sweet Carol IMDb.
My name's Carol. I just know every little thing about everything. I can just come in a conversation and have a good time. Except for film trivia. But wait, I got the IMDb app.
Svenmo.
Sven the reindeer from Frozen owed Olaf some money, and Olaf was collecting that night. Thankfully, Sven found a phone. Svenmo.
Airbnb.
Bree opens up an Airbnb, but the only thing you can be at this B&B is bees and cheese made of brie.
After some dogs move into Airbnb and they can play basketball. Airbnb.
Stuber Eats. Experimental short film that's just an hour and 30 minutes of Kumail Nanjiani eating.
Stuber Eats. A contemporary sequel to the movie Stuber, in which Stuber becomes Hannibal Lecter. Stuber Eats.
Stuber Eats People. That's amazing.
That's the one.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the Stuber Cinematic Universe for sure.
I think you could download these in some app store eventually.
Have you not played the Stuber iPhone game? It's the new Fortnite.
Yeah, Ninja loves it.
Ninja kicks ass at the Stuber Mobile.
Well, what happened in that game, Mason? To flip it on you, what happened in the Stuber Mobile app game?
You would drive down the road, and then your car would run out of battery, and then it would explode. And you would ask yourself, why did the car explode? It was electric.
And then everyone does the electric slide?
Yeah, and then it becomes like Dance Dance Revolution.
This is a very elaborate phone game.
It's just all the opening cutscene, and then it's just Dance Dance Revolution with your fingers, right?
Mobile gaming is such an intriguing medium. You have to think outside the box.
Yes. But you know where you can also think outside of the box? After listening to some of our podcasts, with all of our fresh takes on film, television, music, and all of entertainment, you can listen to all those fresh takes on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Hamilton Sirius XM if you just get the little antennae right. You know,
you got to get my password for that, but I'll get it out. I don't care.
And maybe even if you hail the right Uber app and then you hit the button to play your own music, you just play your own podcast instead. And Hamilton, thanks for enjoying the ride with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're not even close to your stop, but we're done with you, so goodbye.
Okay. One star, but I'm still going to leave you 5 stars on the podcast app. I thought this was a lift.